We have a tremendous collection of historic stereo viewers ranging almost back to where they first began, right through to the present day. And as well, we have stereo cameras, the actual products of the stereo cameras. And the diversity of our collection is largely due to Val Berryman. This was one of his personal interests.
Every child at some young age discovers that if they put their hand over their left eye and look at something and then shift it over to the right eye, the image jumps. And that's what stereoscopic vision was designed to address.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And what's also intriguing is that it's not just the historic viewers that do that. That continuity goes right through to the modern technology. With stereo viewing, you're basically tricking the brain. You're giving a slightly different image to each eye, which recreates to the human brain the same impression that our two slightly offset eyes give us when we look at the world around us. And we follow that theme right through the exhibit.
Can you show me an early 19th century stereoscope?
I most certainly can. Follow me.
Okay, I am looking at a black and white, yet kind of orange-tinged, photograph of a Native American in his traditional garb here.
Allow me to turn the knob for you so that we can get a couple of other images up, and tell me when you've got a new one.
I've got a new one right now.
Uh-huh. What do you see?
I see small children in the front, a line of women in the back, and then a lot of men wearing sombreros, and looks like an adobe house in the background. I'm assuming that's Mexico.
Mm-hmm. So this is an example of how the images were used, really, as encyclopedic documentation of places that many people could not get to.
By the dawn of the early 20th century, with motion picture technology, did that have an impact on stereoscopes? Were people still buying them, or was the novelty now, let's go and see motion pictures?
Mm. Well, certainly, without doubt, motion pictures took off and just went like a wildfire. But no, they didn't, in fact, extinct the interest in stereo viewers. In fact, in the sense of stereoscopes and viewers being used in schools, it was through the 1920s and 30s where it really took off, right into the 40s and 50s. So, in a sense, that was a peak period for those viewers as well as for cinema. And of course, then when you move into the 50s and 60s, we actually see anaglyph technology starting to really take off. Anaglyph technology had been invented a long time earlier, but I think most people associate it with the movies of the 50s and 60s, one of which we will be showing here as part of the exhibit.
And of course, it's not Creature from the Black Lagoon, is it?
It isn't Creature from the Black Lagoon, but it's just about as cheesy as that. It's a wonderful 1961 movie called The Mask, which was made in Canada.
At showings of this motion picture, each patron will receive his own miracle movie mask. Then you will lift your mask as he lifts his, and you will look through it with him into the weirdest nightmare world that man has ever dreamed or the screen has ever dared show.
I'm going to ask you a question about Val Berryman now. Val was 72 when he passed away last month, which means in the 1950s he was a young man, a teenager. Some of these things belong to him as his personal collection. Did he ever talk to you about growing up in the 50s and that whole resurgence in 3D cinema and just what it felt like for him to be caught up in all that?
It was clearly something that meant a lot to him. He just felt that the depth and the experience that the three-dimensional technology gave to the images just made them live and breathe. And that was really what his whole career as a curator was all about, making history live.